Okay, so today we're diving deep into 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Right.
This letter was sent in by a listener, and it's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah.
This is the Apostle Paul writing to his, I guess you could say, protege Timothy.
Right.
It's his final message.
It is, and the context is so important here.
Mm.
You know, Paul is writing this from prison.
Oh, wow.
Knowing that he is very close to the end of his life, you know, facing execution. It's like you're reading a letter from death row.
Yeah.
Just raw honesty.
Oh.
And full of wisdom and emotion.
To really set the stage for all of this, like, what's going on at this time?
Right.
What's the background here?
This is the Roman Empire under Nero.
Okay.
And being a Christian was not a safe or easy thing to be. It could literally cost you your life.
Yeah.
And we actually know from this letter that Paul felt very much abandoned by many people. He talks about everyone in the province of Asia deserting him.
Oh, wow.
So there's this real sense of this revolving door of the early church, people coming and going,
yeah.
And he's facing this incredibly difficult situation.
So in the midst of all this, Paul writes to Timothy, and he lays out this core command, and it's preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season.
Yeah.
Just like, bam, right out the gate.
Absolutely.
Here's what I need you to do. It seems like such a powerful statement to get knowing what Paul's going through. It's like, this is what's important.
Right. And it's a command that goes beyond just preaching,
yeah.
You know, on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It's really calling Timothy, and by extension, all of us, to be ready to share the message of the gospel.
Okay.
In any situation, whether it's convenient or not.
Then he goes on and says, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So he gets into some of the specifics,
yes.
Of what this actually looks like. What I find really interesting here is it's like he's laying out two distinct roles that are really vital for any spiritual leader.
Yes, that's a great point. It's,
yeah.
It's that balance of instruction and oversight. You have to be able to teach the sound doctrine, but also provide pastoral care and guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So it really connects to even the modern concept of mentorship and discipleship.
Right.
He's not just telling Timothy to go and lecture people. He's telling him to walk alongside them.
Yeah.
In their spiritual journeys.
Now, this is where things get really interesting for me.
Okay.
Because Paul warns Timothy and he says, you know, watch out for those with itching ears.
Yeah.
Those who'd rather hear pleasant lies than face challenging truths. It's like reading today's headlines.
Isn't it? It's a really accurate parallel to our world today. We are just bombarded with information.
Yes.
And it's so easy to just gravitate toward those things that make us feel good, you know, even if they're not true or lack substance. And so this craving for feel-good spirituality, well, it's not new.
Apparently not.
And it's a real danger for us today.
How susceptible are we to that same kind of thinking today?
That's a question I think we all need to wrestle with. And I think it's clear from this letter that Paul saw people falling into this trap back then, too.
Then Paul hits Timothy with this really vivid image. He says, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. What a powerful statement.
Wow. Yes. Very powerful. You get this real sense of complete surrender in that statement.
Yes.
In those days, pouring out a libation like wine or oil,
right,
was this deeply symbolic act of sacrifice offered to the gods.
Mm.
And so Paul here is really saying, you know, he's ready to offer up his very life for the gospel.
Yeah.
What a statement of devotion.
And then it's even more amazing to me because even though Paul is facing death, he's still showing this deep desire for knowledge.
Yeah.
He says, bring me the scrolls and parchments.
I love that little detail.
Yeah.
It shows, you know, his commitment to lifelong learning. Imagine being on death row.
Right.
And one of your biggest concerns is getting your reading material.
Wow.
I mean, that speaks volumes about how important learning and growing, especially in our faith,
yeah.
is a journey that doesn't stop. Even when we're facing the ultimate challenge of death.
Then we get this really interesting glimpse into Paul's relationship.
Yes.
Because he mentions Demas.
Right.
Who deserted him.
Yes, because he loved this world.
But then there's John Mark.
Yes, John Mark. Remember, he's the one who had previously abandoned Paul on a missionary journey.
Yeah, he left.
And yet, here Paul is specifically asking Timothy to bring Mark with him. Because he's become helpful.
Wow.
What a contrast.
What a contrast. What do you think motivated Paul to reach back out to Mark after being let down like that?
Well, it seems to me that Paul really understood the transformative power of forgiveness and reconciliation.
Yeah.
He could have held a grudge against Mark, but instead he chose to extend grace and welcome him back.
It's powerful.
There's a huge lesson there for all of us, don't you think?
It is. It makes you think, How often do we hold on to bitterness or resentment instead of offering forgiveness? Paul's example shows that even when we're hurt, reconciliation is possible.
Absolutely. And it's not just about letting go of anger or hurt. Yeah. You know, it's about recognizing the potential for healing and growth that can come with forgiveness.
Then Paul shares this just heart-wrenching detail. He says, at my first defense, no one came to support me except Luke. Can you imagine that feeling?
It must have been incredibly difficult. Especially for someone like Paul, who was so accustomed to community.
Yeah.
It just speaks to our human need for companionship, even when we're going through really difficult times.
And yet, even after that, Paul responds in an incredible way.
Right.
He says, may it not be held against them.
Wow, what a statement. It's like, it's Christ-like. It echoes Jesus' words on the cross.
Yeah.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
He could have easily let bitterness take root, but instead he chooses compassion and understanding.
It's amazing.
Grace and action.
It really makes you think about what true forgiveness really means.
It does. And what makes this even more interesting is that Paul contrasts this forgiveness with his attitude towards Alexander the metal worker.
Okay.
He seems to hand Alexander over to God's justice, which is a very different stance than the way he responds to those who abandon him at the fence.
That's a good point. Yeah. Why do you think Paul makes that distinction?
Well, it's a complex question.
Yeah.
And it raises important points about discerning when to offer forgiveness.
Right.
And when to seek accountability.
Right.
There's no easy answers here.
Yeah.
But Paul seems to suggest this nuanced approach, this balance between mercy and justice.
It's a good reminder that we need wisdom to know which approach is appropriate.
We do.
In any given situation.
Yeah.
And that wisdom comes through prayer and reflection and seeking counsel from others.
Absolutely.
And then Paul just drops this unbelievably powerful line. He says, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength.
Wow. It gives me chills even reading that.
Doesn't it?
It's such a profound statement about spiritual resilience.
Yeah.
And the fact that we can tap into a strength that transcends our own human limits. Mm-hmm. Even in those moments of complete darkness, Paul experienced the presence of God.
I think many of us have had those times where we feel a strength.
I think so too.
That's beyond ourselves, especially in times when we think we should be falling apart.
Yeah.
And it's just a powerful reminder that we're never truly alone.
Amen to that.
Even when we're facing seemingly impossible challenges.
And what's really inspiring is that even while imprisoned, Paul maintains his focus on the mission.
Right.
He says, the Lord gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it.
So he's still thinking about the bigger picture.
Yes.
Even as his own life is coming to a close.
He wants the message of Christ to reach as many people as possible.
Yeah.
And he's doing this while facing the very real possibility of being thrown to the lions.
And his faith doesn't waver.
It doesn't. He expresses complete trust in God's deliverance.
Yeah.
He says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom.
What a declaration of faith in the face of death.
I know. It's like he's transcending his circumstances.
Yeah.
Focusing on a reality beyond this physical world.
Okay, so let's move into the closing section of this letter.
All right.
Because at first glance, it kind of seems mundane. He starts listing names and sending greetings.
Right.
But there's so much more going on here, isn't there?
There really is.
Yeah.
And those greetings reveal a lot about Paul's character
mm-hmm.
and the importance he placed on human connection. He urges Timothy to come to me quickly and to bring Mark with him. He wants to be with his friends.
Wow.
Even in prison, facing execution, he longs for that companionship.
He even asks for his cloak and his scrolls.
I know. It's a small detail.
It is.
But it speaks volumes about his human desires, even facing death.
He wants to be warm and he wants to read.
Yes. He didn't let his circumstances completely define him.
That's amazing.
And then you have this whole list of people, Priscilla and Aquila, Erastus, Trophimus, Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters.
Like a who's who of the faithful.
It highlights the importance of community.
Yeah.
The connectedness of believers, even across geographical boundaries.
Paul may have been physically isolated, but he was still part of this network.
Exactly. We're not meant to live out our faith in isolation.
Yeah.
We need each other.
Then he closes with these simple but really profound words.
Yes. Yeah.
The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all.
What a beautiful way to end this letter.
Yeah.
Full of love and concern.
Yeah.
He acknowledges that Timothy and the whole community are going to face challenges.
Oh, right.
But he assures them that God is with them
Yeah.
And that his grace will be sufficient.
What a powerful letter. We've only just begun to scratch the surface here in this first part of our deep dive into 2 Timothy chapter 4. Mm. But there's so much more to unpack, and we'll do that next time.
You know, it's amazing to me how Paul, even while facing his own death, is so focused on Timothy's growth and the future of the church.
It really is. It shows his character.
And he doesn't shy away from suffering either.
Right. He's very clear that following Christ will involve hardships.
That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes we get this idea that faith should always be easy.
Yeah.
But Paul's saying, look, it's not always going to be comfortable.
Right. There will be opposition.
Yeah. And even persecution.
And he doesn't say just endure it either.
No.
He says fulfill your ministry.
Yes.
Be proactive.
Exactly.
Engage in the work.
It's a call to action.
And it all goes back to something we touched on before.
No.
The importance of Scripture.
Yes, absolutely. He keeps coming back to that.
He uses phrases like the pattern of sound words, the word of truth.
Right.
It's clear that for Paul, the Scriptures are vital.
They're not just reading them, but understanding them.
Yeah.
Applying them.
Living them out.
Yeah, exactly.
He even talks about apostolic application.
Yeah.
What does he mean by that?
Well, basically he's saying Timothy needs to make sure his teachings are rooted in the truth passed down from the apostles.
Okay.
You know, the ones who actually walked with Jesus.
Right.
It's about maintaining that connection to the original message.
Makes sense in today's world where everyone has a different interpretation.
Right. It's about guarding against interpretations that distort the core truths of the gospel.
So important to remember the historical context.
It is.
Mm.
And, you know, it highlights the need for careful study.
Yes.
And seeking guidance from those who understand the Scriptures deeply.
No, along with the focus on Scripture,
okay.
Paul also talks about spiritual graces.
Yes.
Those gifts and blessings we get from God.
Right. It's not all about rules.
Yeah. It's about cultivating those graces.
Exactly. He talks about his own spiritual heritage.
Yeah.
His affection for Timothy, his love for the church.
Okay.
These things are vital, he says.
Interesting.
For navigating the challenges we face.
He even names some of them, right?
He does.
Understanding, assurance, freedom from youthful passions.
Yeah, pursuing righteousness, faith, love, peace.
Almost like a checklist.
You could see it that way.
Spiritual maturity.
That's about growing in all those areas.
Then there's this image of the crown of righteousness.
Yeah.
That Paul is looking forward to.
Such a powerful image.
It is. But it's not about personal glory for him, though, is it?
No, not at all. He sees it as an offering to God.
Okay.
Acknowledging that everything comes from him.
It's a good reminder for us.
It is.
Our aim shouldn't be earthly success.
Right.
But to live for God's glory.
Exactly. And even facing death, Paul is focused on that.
It really is inspiring.
It is.
If you had to pick out the key themes of Tepid Timothy,
okay.
What would you say they are?
Well, I think faithfulness is huge.
Okay.
Remaining committed to the gospel, mm-hmm. to our calling, to the Scriptures.
Even when it's hard.
Especially when it's hard.
Okay, what else?
The power of Scripture. I mean, he just keeps hammering that home.
Right.
Study it, apply it, proclaim it.
We can't do any of this on our own, though, right?
No, absolutely not. Which is why community is so important.
That support system.
Yes. Paul is constantly reminding Timothy he's not alone.
And it all comes down to God's grace, doesn't it?
It does. We can't do any of this without it.
His grace sustains us.
Yeah.
It empowers us.
It enables us to keep going.
Ultimately, 20 Timothy is such a powerful testimony.
It is.
To the transformative power of the gospel.
Even in the face of death.
It's full of hope and encouragement.
And the sense that God is with us.
No matter what.
No matter what.
It's a reminder that no matter what we're going through,
we
can find strength in Paul's words.
Absolutely.
You know, it's incredible how 20 Timothy manages to be both deeply personal and universally relevant at the same time.
Yeah, it really is. You're right. It's a letter to one person. But it speaks to the human condition in a way that, like, transcends time and place.
And it's full of wisdom that feels so applicable even today, you know?
Absolutely.
With all the complexities of the world and the challenges we face. One thing that strikes me is how much Paul emphasizes meaningful connections. what we might call networking today,
yeah,
you know?
Right, yeah. Like when he mentions all those different people and their roles in spreading the gospel.
Demas deserting him. But then he highlights individuals like Luke and Mark and Tychicus and others who remain faithful. And then all those greetings he sends to individuals and churches. He's emphasizing this idea of a connected community of believers.
It's like he's telling Timothy and us too that we're not meant to go it alone in our faith.
Exactly. We need each other.
We need that support, that encouragement, even the accountability of others.
Absolutely. And it's not just about receiving that support either. No, it's about giving it.
Yeah.
He talks about Onesiphorus, who refreshed him and who was not ashamed of his chains.
Wow, yeah. Think about the people who have been there for you during tough times.
You know, I've been so blessed to have a supportive family and some amazing friends who've walked with me through some dark times. And their encouragement and support just made all the difference. And it makes me want to be that for others, you know, offer that same support.
So we need to go beyond just receiving and actually look for ways to encourage others.
Mm. We're all part of the body of Christ.
Right.
And we all have a role to play.
Exactly.
Something else that really stands out is how focused Paul is on God's work.
Right.
Even as his life is ending. He doesn't seem to get caught up in self-pity or bitterness at all.
It's really remarkable. It's like his perspective has shifted to something much bigger than himself.
Hmm.
It's not about him anymore.
Yeah.
It's about God.
It really challenges me to think about how often I get caught up in my own little world and my own problems.
Yeah. Paul's example really challenges us to zoom out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And see the bigger picture. Find our place in God's story.
And that gives him such a profound sense of peace and purpose. Even facing death, he can say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Yeah. Such powerful words.
You can just hear the victory in his voice.
There's no defeat there.
Yeah.
He knows that his life, even with all the hardships, has been well spent serving Christ.
And then there's that moving part where he forgives those who abandon him.
Oh, yeah. Powerful stuff.
May it not be held against them. It's like a reflection of Jesus himself.
It really is. Goes beyond human understanding. I mean, he could have been resentful and bitter.
Yeah.
But he chooses mercy and grace instead. What fuels that kind of response in a person?
It's a good question.
I think it speaks to the transforming power of the gospel, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reminder that forgiveness is not about saying what someone did was okay. It's about letting go of that anger and resentment.
Because ultimately that just hurts us.
Exactly. It's about choosing to align ourselves with God, whose heart is always full of mercy.
It's a challenge, though, isn't it, to forgive like that?
Oh, absolutely. It's a journey. And we had to choose it over and over again.
But when we learn to forgive,
yeah,
we open ourselves up to that freedom and healing that only God can give.
That's so true.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm left with this question. Imagine you're Timothy. You get this letter. You know it's about to happen to Paul. What part of it stays with you? What do you carry with you from this final message?
That's a great question. I think for me, it would be Paul's incredible faith and courage.
Yeah.
Even when everything seemed impossible, you know?
Yeah.
It's like he's reminding us that no matter how dark things get, God is enough. God's grace is enough.
Yeah.
And that our real hope is in his promises. His example just makes me want to face my own struggles with more confidence and trust in God.
I think for me, it would be the emphasis on relationships with God and with each other. Paul's letter really shows how important human connection is and how much we need each other. It reminds me to value those connections, to nurture them, and to invest in building that support system around me.
That's so good.
We also can't forget that urgent call to action he gives. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Hmm. The gospel isn't just something we believe, it's something we live and share. We need to be ready to share our faith no matter where we are or what's happening around us.
So if you're listening and you want to explore these themes more, I really encourage you to read 2 Timothy for yourself. It's a short letter, but it's packed with wisdom that's still relevant today.
And let Paul's words challenge and encourage you. Let them guide you in your own spiritual journey. Think about how his example can inspire you to live with more purpose and courage, knowing that you're not alone. You're part of something so much bigger, a story that ends in hope and victory. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.